I feel about vaccines like I feel about tests. This is going to go away without a vaccine. It's going to go away, and we're not going to see it again.
White House efforts to contain coronavirus effects may determine election. It's Monday, May 11th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us online on Instagram and Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, looking forward to post-COVID business, trying to fly safely, efficient shopping, seeing through face masks, and virtual graduations. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The Trump administration continues to grapple with the coronavirus pandemic, which has affected the United States harder than any other nation, with millions of jobs lost, the highest numbers of coronavirus infections, and tens of thousands of deaths. Treasury Secretary Steven Mnuchin says he expects a medical breakthrough soon.
I have the utmost confidence. We have the greatest scientists, the greatest medical people. There will be a vaccine. We will kill this virus.
But immediately countering Mnuchin was President Donald Trump.
I feel about vaccines like I feel about tests. This is going to go away without a vaccine. It's going to go away, and we're not going to see it again, hopefully, after a period of time. You may have some flare-ups, and I guess, you know, I would expect that. Sometime in the fall, you'll have flare-ups, maybe. Maybe not. But according to what a lot of people say, you probably will. We'll be able to put them out. You may have some flare-ups next year, but eventually it's going to be gone.
Several political observers say the upcoming presidential election in November will become a referendum on Trump's handling of the pandemic, for which he has been harshly criticized for being too slow to react, resulting in delayed testing abilities and a lack of adequate personal protection equipment, and making contradictory statements against top medical experts. Still, Trump repeats an upbeat narrative that everything will be okay, and on Friday offered a campaign slogan modified from his original, Make America Great Again.
So we're looking at the transition to greatness, and I think it's starting right now. It's really what it is. It's a great term. It just came out at this meeting. It came out by accident. It was a statement, and it came out, and you can't get a better one. We can go to Madison Avenue and get the greatest geniuses in the world to come up with a slogan, but that's the slogan we're going to use, transition to greatness, and it's starting right now.
Opposition to President Trump has consolidated Democratic Party support for Joe Biden, the presumptive party nominee, in the upcoming presidential election. However, VOA's Brian Padden reports that pressure from progressives for more expansive government assistance programs, especially now during the coronavirus pandemic, along with concerns over a recent sexual assault allegation and a challenge from a third-party candidate, threatened to fracture that unified support.
Today, I am
in endorsing former Vice President Joe Biden for president, Senator Bernie Sanders from Vermont, a chief progressive rival for the Democratic Party nomination, made clear the party must unite to defeat President Donald Trump in the November presidential election.
To make certain that we defeat somebody who I believe, and I'm speaking just for myself now, is the most dangerous president in the modern history of this country.
However, progressive leaders like Congresswoman Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez remain divided over Biden's opposition to Sanders' proposals for government-funded health care and other assistance for working-class Americans.
You know, what I'd like to see at the bare minimum is a plan that will help extend health care to young people.
The coronavirus pandemic that is now overwhelming hospitals, forcing widespread business closures and leaving millions out of work has blurred what were distinct policy differences between traditionally pro-business Republicans and pro-labor Democrats. Both sides have now come together to support a $1 trillion stimulus for businesses and increased unemployment assistance. The political center is shifting left in this crisis, analysts say, and Biden may need to embrace more progressive policies to maintain unified support.
He does have to show an acknowledgement that the country has moved, that the Democratic Party has moved to the left, that there is real interest in much more ambitious progressive solutions.
A recent sexual assault allegation against Biden could also cause division in the party. Biden has strongly denied an accusation from former Senate staffer Tara Reid, who said Biden assaulted her in the 1990s. Critics say inconsistency in Reid's allegations weaken her case, and Biden's colleagues have come to his defense.
I consider him a friend. He is a man of the utmost character and integrity. Her allegations and her false accusations are antithetical to who Joe Biden is.
But advocates of the Me Too movement worry that dismissing charges against Biden undercuts its message that women claiming harassment should be believed. It also opens Democrats up to charges of hypocrisy after they strongly condemn past sexual assault allegations against Trump and Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. There is also some concern that a third party candidate, Justin Amash, a Republican congressman from Michigan running for the Libertarian Party nomination, could pull some moderates away from Biden, weakening him in the swing states he needs to win to defeat Trump. Analysts predict Trump will likely look to sow division among Democrats to win a second term, despite an ongoing health crisis and severe economic downturn. Brian Patton, VOA News, Washington.
These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Newspaper report says Indian and Chinese troops squared off at Sikkim border. Australian children to gradually return to school as COVID-19 controls ease. Obama says Trump's handling of pandemic is absolute chaotic disaster. U.S. moves to pull Chinese equipment from its power grid. South Korea's K-League kicks off with no crowd, but big broadcast interest. You'll find expanded coverage of these stories and more on Facebook at VOA Asia and the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. As the U.S. and other countries slowly lift restrictions put in place to contain the coronavirus, corporate America is looking at how to return to normal. But officials say it will likely be a new normal, one different than pre-COVID times. Evgeny Maslov looks at rules and regulations that may become routine in the corporate world, as Anna Rice narrates his story.
What many hope are just temporary changes might have a longer-lasting effect on both the economy and the daily life. 2 months of teleworking has shown that at least some employees can successfully and efficiently work from home, which can mean a reduction in demand for office space.
Working in New York City, which is very expensive, as are many of the major financial centers around the world. These are very, very expensive cities to operate in. We have a very high fixed cost base. Number one is typically your lease is your office expense. If you can cut that by 20, 30, 40%, the space that you need, that's an enormous cost savings.
If the demand for office space goes down, this will force the lease prices to go down as well, experts say. Today, the average office lease price in New York City is $750 per square meter a year. Coronavirus lockdowns have also shown that many employees can successfully do their jobs from home. And that means employers may now find it possible and efficient to hire employees regardless of where they are based.
Having employees work remotely saves a lot of money. So companies not only realize that they can save money on office rent, they could even start hiring people who don't live in New York, people from other areas and states where average salaries are lower. That will also allow them to save money.
The pandemic, experts say, may do more than just change the way whole business spheres operate. It can also alter business etiquette and routine. The number of conferences and business trips will go down significantly, especially when physical presence is not crucial.
I'm having meetings, virtual meetings with 6 people, 8 people, 10 people, and we're learning how to do this more efficiently with clients or vendors around the world or around the country. I don't need to get on a plane. You know, every time that I travel or one of my employees travel, yes, they're traveling for that meeting, but they're also missing potential work that they could be doing otherwise.
Smaller number of business trips will directly affect hotels that rely on business clientele. Work with business partners may be structured differently, skipping face-to-face meetings when possible.
Certain situations that I think is still going to be very, very important. But in other situations, it's less important, you know, and especially, I think, demographically, just the younger generation, I don't think they need that as much. You know, they're used to a more virtual world versus some of my older clients and customers. They're not as used to that virtual world. They do want to sit down. It is important for them, for me, to make the effort to go and see them.
Experts say changing work habits, lower demand for hotel rooms, office space, and public transportation are just some of the changes that likely await corporations and businesses in a post-COVID world. For Evgeny Maslov in New York, NRI's VOA News.
Happening now in Asia, Malaysia is scrambling to test millions of migrants for the coronavirus to avoid a repeat of the outbreak that has hit neighboring Singapore, where foreign workers crammed into dormitories now account for most of its confirmed COVID-19 cases. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad you're with us as we begin a brand new week together on VOA Asia. Major airlines are requiring passengers to wear face masks during flights to protect passengers and also crew members against the coronavirus. And as a temporary measure, some are blocking middle seats for free or charging for it to create spacing between passengers. They are also suspending snacks and beverage services to limit interaction. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo spoke with the CEO of Frontier Airlines to find out more.
Passengers are now required to wear a face mask or covering to board a flight on a major airline, including JetBlue, American, United, Southwest, Frontier, and Lufthansa, among others. Frontier Airlines Chief Executive Officer Barry Biffle says other measures are also being taken.
We started with enhanced screening procedures, as well as the fogging of our aircraft that kills the virus on contact. We started doing health certifications of our passengers almost a month ago. And last week we announced, which goes into effect this Friday, that everyone will be required to wear facial coverings.
Captain John Cox, former head of air safety for the Airline Pilots Association, salutes the move.
They're trying to be very conservative in doing two things. One is maximizing passenger safety, but also providing tangible evidence to the passengers that they are taking health and safety very seriously.
Many flights have been nearly empty since the outbreak started, but recently passengers started posting photos of more crowded planes with travelers who are not wearing face covering or observing basic social distancing guidelines. Passenger Princess Johnson describes a recent flight.
Like, it was like a claustrophobic scene. That's how it felt to me, because we didn't have space. If someone sneezed, we all would have been sick.
But Mike Ritchie had a different experience.
Good flight. Not so many people. Plane got up fast. Plane landed fast. The flight attendants made sure everybody was spaced well, and I'd fly again if I had to.
Southwest Airlines officials say workers are cleaning every surface of their aircrafts with an electrostatic disinfectant, which kills viruses on contact. Other measures, eliminating snacks and beverages to limit social interaction and not putting passengers in middle seats to ensure greater social distance. But other airlines are filling middle seats, saying requiring face masks is sufficient. Frontier is charging $39 to keep the middle seat empty.
For the last month, we've been blocking every other row. I know some airlines have been blocking some middle seats, but they're not guaranteed. And so that's why we introduced the guaranteed option of the middle seat being blocked next to you. But the bottom line is you don't need that to be safe on Frontier.
Biffle adds his company will receive $170 million in federal funds under the CARES Act passed in March that provides economic relief due to the COVID-19 crisis. This, he says, will help Frontier cover half of its payroll costs until September. Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to easily find them. VOA Asia Twitter, we're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. A report published on an Indian newspaper's website says Indian and Chinese soldiers exchanged blows Saturday along India and China's border. 4 Indian soldiers and 7 Chinese troops were allegedly injured in the skirmishes. The newspaper says the army has denied knowledge of the incident. You'll find all the big stories throughout the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. VOA Asia continues. For anxious shoppers, every grocery store visit is a big event. VOA's Callie Yu tells us about a D.C. entrepreneur who developed a crowdsourcing app where users share store inventory information to help make their trip an essential and efficient one.
Trying to find sanitizers or toilet paper, but don't know where to go? A new crowdsourcing app is trying to solve the problem. Both consumers and businesses can share inventory level of essential supplies and help making your grocery store visits more efficient.
The idea is to have really just like the top 10 things that are really incentivizing or driving people to go to the store. Like they need toilet paper, so they're going to go to the store that definitely has toilet paper. Or they need Advil or Tylenol, and so they're going to go get those things.
While some essential supplies are out of stock at big box stores, some street corner convenience stores might be resourceful, and you can avoid a wait in those daunting long lines.
What we know is that smaller retailers like convenience stores and even restaurants are using more nimble and able to use different supply chains. So those small convenience stores, these small businesses that are really struggling right now, are the ones that are fully stocked.
Mark hopes small retailers could benefit from his crowdsourcing app too. DC-based Union Kitchen provides manufacturing and market space for local food businesses. Now they're also selling sanitizers, gloves, and paper products in their stores, with the app helping spread the word. Union Kitchen is able to gain more customers.
What that offers to us is the ability to say, hey, you know, we are a smaller store than maybe your traditional grocery store you might go to, but we have everything that you need. And so whether that's toilet paper, whether it's, cleaning supplies, anything along those lines.
Our Streets was initially developed for reporting traffic issues on local roads and was pivoted to focus on essential supplies after the coronavirus outbreak. Since launching on April 1st, Our Streets app has had 35,000 downloads and gets 18 to 19,000 searches every day. With help of funding from the payroll protection program, Mark has been able to keep all his employees on the payroll for now. Kala Yu, VOA News.
Coronavirus questions. Can the virus be spread by mosquito bites? Is there a vaccine or medication that prevents it? Is there any medicine that cures it? The answer to all of the questions is no. The best steps to take: wash your hands, cover your cough, stay at home if you are sick or advised to by local authorities.
Now on VOA Asia, like in many parts of the world, people in Indonesia have been wearing face masks on essential runs away from home to help stem the spread of COVID-19. This has proven difficult for people who are deaf and hard of hearing, including an estimated 20,000 Indonesians. To help, one resident in Yogyakarta on the island of Java has created a transparent mask using a sheet of plastic. VOA's Nova Purardi narrates this report from Nurhadi Shacho in Yogyakarta, Indonesia.
Face masks designed to contain COVID-19 are more common now, and that's making life difficult for people like Dwi Rahayu. The resident of Yogyakarta, Indonesia, was born deaf and mute. and communicates using sign language and reading the lips of people who can't sign back. Since she needs to see people's lips to read them, she created a transparent face mask using plastic sheets.
Before the COVID-19, I already find it hard to communicate with people. Then they start wearing masks, and communication got even harder because I can't see their expressions and lip movement.
She and her husband, who is also deaf, got to work making transparent face masks at home and distributing them to her deaf and hard of hearing friends. Unlike in America, Indonesia doesn't have one universal sign language. In cities like Yogyakarta and the capital Jakarta, many use Indonesian Sign Language, known by its acronym BISINDO, which is largely based on American Sign Language. To help people who can't hear or speak communicate better, they also need to read facial expressions and body gestures. Traditional face masks make that even more difficult.
Now, because everyone wears a mask, I can't understand them at all. Usually, I ask them to open their mask first, but most won't. If they were wearing a transparent mask, that makes communication easier.
According to SIGAP, an advocacy group for Indonesians with disabilities based in Yogyakarta, the general public and policymakers should be aware of the issue.
I think this should be a concern for the government, so that they can design this transparent mask and have it more widely used.
Many in the deaf community in Indonesia are not waiting and taking their own innovative measures to handle the pandemic, just like hearing persons. For Nur Hadi Sucahyo in Yogyakarta, I'm Nova Purwadi, VOA News.
No classes and no graduations. The class of 2020 will miss their commencement ceremonies due to coronavirus pandemic bans of all mass gatherings. Colleges and universities across the United States are offering alternative solutions. Some have rescheduled the ceremony, while others are holding virtual graduations. For many students, however, the thrill of the moment is forever lost. We hear more from Daria Digits.
For Juliana Bain, the 4 years she has spent studying at Cornell University were filled with excitement and hard work. Bain was really looking forward to her graduation that was scheduled for May to celebrate the successful end of her college career.
Graduation is 3 days long. There's a lot of events, but the main events are convocation and then our major ceremonies. So during commencement, the convocation speaker addresses the entire class, and this is usually a famous person. In the past, we've had Vice President Joe Biden, actor Jim Franco, and like Bill Nye, the science guy.
Instead of getting invitations for the commencement ceremony in the mail, Bain, like thousands of other graduates, got a notification that the events were canceled.
We knew that May graduation was going to be canceled. A little bit earlier than we got the official announcement, since a lot of other Ivy League schools had already been announcing cancellations.
Universities started canceling graduation ceremonies in mid-March, schools like Yale, Columbia, and MIT among them. Now the challenge is how to celebrate the day from home. Harvard University will hold all of its official events online. Johns Hopkins University School of Advanced International Studies will do the same.
We would do a virtual ceremony, but we also have promised the students that when it's possible to bring people back together physically, we'll have something. We don't know what that something is because we don't, of course, know when we can all be together physically.
Though colleges and universities' official events will take place in the future, it's too early to set a date in stone. Boston University, for example, is considering keeping its doors closed until January 2021. Lynn Pasquarella, president of the Association of American Colleges and Universities, says the canceled ceremonies are a source of frustration not just to graduates, but to the whole education system as well.
Commencement ceremonies are important not only because they celebrate the academic accomplishments of graduates, but because they bring community together around shared traditions. And it's often a celebration that coincides with reunions. And so alumni can come back onto campuses and reflect on the ways in which their lives were transformed through higher education.
Graduates say they understand the university's decision in light of the pandemic and hope to get the most out of their online experience. Daria Digutz for VOA News, Washington.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Find us on Facebook and Instagram. You can also follow us on Twitter, all at VOA Asia. You can see us on YouTube. Thanks for joining us, and thanks to our managing editor, Diane Gao, our VOA Asia team, including Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, Keith Lane, and we welcome Amy Pulpaboon. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe, be well.